from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
I'm a true champion.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let the March Madness begin. A 12 seed is moving on.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I love college basketball.
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, Fanatics founder and CEO Michael Rubin. Coming up, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The march is being mad right now.
It sure is.
Four games are going down to start the NCAA men's tournament. The women start on Friday. Not very gentlemanly to go first before usually ladies first. All right. Ohio State has not only come all the way back, they now lead TCU by three.
It's now five. Wow. They've outscored TCU 31-11 in the second half.
Let me tell you something. It's a good thing when I do my brackets, go with my head, not my spite.
The game ain't over yet, though.
Oh, okay.
6 minutes to go.
Yeah, it's like forever.
And four games going on at once. We'll update you throughout the day. While we're on the air here on Disney Plus and the ESPN app here on ESPN Radio and also Sirius XM Channel 80. This is the man who brings you Pro Football Talk all the time on his own sites as well as the NBC family of networks. And his book, Big Shield, A Tale of the Intersection Between Gambling and Pro Sports, is available on Amazon right now. He's holding up the book in his hands. If you want the ebook, it can be yours for the low price of 99 cents. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Florio,
sir.
His 2 cents right here on the program. How are you, Mike?
Rich, I'm doing great, buddy. Great to be with you again. Great seeing you in Indy.
It was great.
Shared a space for a few days.
That was fun, man. That was fun. It's amazing what that's become, isn't it? Isn't it amazing?
It seemed like it was never going to end. Somebody asked me, I had a coach say, because we talked to a lot of the prospects as you did, and the coach said, did any of them stand out to you? And I said, no. It's one after another, after another, after
right.
another. And you got to go back and watch them all to just remember who you talked to.
I never met Jeremiah Love before. I couldn't have been more impressed. You know, him, Caleb Downs, my God. You know, he Caleb Downs struck me like he's already a pro, you know, when I spoke with him at the combine.
Yeah, and he's got that podcast with his brother Josh, and it actually does really well. So he's already got the media training. Yeah. It's just a different world. You've got businessmen who are entering the NFL, and they aren't as wide-eyed as they used to be because they're making money as they should have always been, and they have different ways that they can build a platform and get comfortable. So when it's time to talk to folks like us, it's old hat.
Is there any – let's just jump into what's happened between the last two times that we've spoken now and as you mentioned, the combine. The Max Crosby saga, anything come close to it in your decades of covering the sport,
well,
Mike?
I don't know if you feel like I do about the way free agency went this year. There was a lot of activity, but when you look at the names, all due respect to the folks who cashed in, it wasn't exactly a lot of sizzle. Wasn't a lot of big names that moved teams or stayed put at the deadline before the market opened. The Crosby thing changed everything. And it is rare, if not unprecedented, to have all the different pieces happen the way they did. And when you look back on it, one of the things that I've been saying is the Raiders should have made damn sure that physical was done before the negotiating window opened. So everyone would know, is this guy going to the Ravens or is he reverting to the Raiders? It would have affected clearly how much money the Raiders spent on free agents. But something was off, Rich, because Max Crosby does a 13-minute video where he says goodbye to Las Vegas and hello to Baltimore. If he had any reason to think that his physical was potentially going to be a glitch that would undo the whole thing, you'd think somebody would have told him. So the whole thing really was bizarre and strange, and there are lessons to be learned by everyone in the NFL.
What are the lessons?
Make sure you get these deals done, number one, quietly, and number two, don't allow for the wiggle room that the Ravens were able to take advantage of. They could have backed out of that deal for any reason. These trades aren't done until both teams put the key in and turn it once the league year opens. And the Ravens could have backed away for any reason. They just could have said, hey, we got second thoughts here. They are backing away for a plausible reason. But you know what makes the reason more plausible to them? Hey, Trey Hendrickson overshot his market. He's not signed yet. It's Tuesday. Wait, we can get him for 28? And we're going to give up 2 first-round picks, and Max is getting 29, and he may want more on the way through the door. And the next thing you know, there's a lot of discretion there. Well, you know, we're not sure we want to take on the risk of this knee, given everything else that's out there, including the fact that we can still get Trey Hendrickson. So get it all done before you start down this path of free agency and your options that are out there and things that could make a team say, maybe we will back out of this deal.
Well, you're more of a legal CBA maven than I am. My good friend Gabe Feldman did give me an honorary degree in sports law, but neglected to sign it, so it's not really official. So why do these trades have to wait to the new league year? Why can't that trade be struck on a Friday like it was, and then the physical happened that night, and the teams have till Saturday to figure it out, you know what I mean? And off we go. Why do trades need to wait to become official, Mike?
The way the rules work, when the trade deadline arrives in early November, the window shuts, and by rule, it does not open until the clock strikes 4 o'clock Eastern on that day in mid-March when the new league year begins. So anything that is agreed to before then, and you're allowed to agree to things, it's still not done. It's not enforceable. And there's no violation of the rules. This is one of those situations where you're going to piss a lot of people off if you don't go through with it, but there's no consequence from the perspective of 345 Park Avenue if you back away, because the league's attitude is it's not done until both teams communicate identical terms of the trade to the league. It matches, and then it's official. And we've seen this play out in other settings. During the draft, there have been teams that have a deal, and one of them didn't get the word of the trade to the NFL in time, so there's no deal. Remember the time that the Browns were trying to trade for A.J. McCarron with the Bengals, and the Browns didn't get it communicated by the day and the moment that the window closed, so there's no trade. So that's just, those are the rules. So the team's obligations are to figure out how best to strategize and coexist with the fact that anything you agree to before the start of the league year doesn't matter, because there's nothing that's forcing these teams to go through with those deals until they're communicated to the league after the league year opens.
Creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, hanging with us the first day of March Madness. And right there, just a couple weeks before the owners meet in the annual meeting. Let's... the free agency stuff that was the most intriguing outside of what we've already hit with Max Crosby was the quarterback decisions that got made. Let's start with Tua and how Ian Cunningham said there's going to be a competition there, which means I think Tua is the week one starter in Atlanta. What do you think, Mike?
Well, you got to consider Michael Penix Jr. right now. He's recovering from a torn ACL.
Right.
Tua is going to get the opportunities in the offseason program. Tua is going to be extra motivated to prove the Dolphins wrong, to reestablish himself. The Dolphins are going to pay him $52.7 million this year to play for the Falcons. The Falcons paying him the minimum of 1.3. We've seen that happen now with Russell Wilson, with Kyler Murray, and Tua Tagovailoa, where you've got a huge guarantee that your old team owes. Take the minimum and do that new team a favor. So he's going to have every chance to come in, learn the offense, and be ready to go. And they're already kind of ambivalent about Penix. This is new management. They've got no reason to justify the 8th overall pick from 2 years ago. Everybody who did that's gone now. So Tua's their guy. Tua's the guy they brought in, and they can turn this Tua transaction into something that kickstarts the offense. You look at all the talent that they have around the quarterback. Their defense is good enough. I think Tua is going to be the week one starter as well. And then they'll continue to get Penix ready to go. And it's a great fallback, because if for some reason Tua doesn't work out, well, hey, Penix was always the guy, and now Penix is healthy and ready to go.
And then Minnesota's new fangled quarterback room has Kyler Murray in it with J.J. McCarthy. And then just today, Carson Wentz is back to bring it all together. We're talking competition, and I know Kevin O'Connell had a very funny quote, basically, when he was asked about what the competition looks like and who's going to be the starter. He's like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't need to name one right now. And that's true. But somebody who's got almost 90 starts in his career, in Kyler Murray and what he brings to the table, I don't know how J.J. McCarthy beats him out. And I'm the biggest J.J. McCarthy fan that there is around, for the obvious reasons. It looks like he's the week one starter too. And I know we're calling shots here in March, but you know, barring injury, I don't see how that's any different.
Well, think of it this way, Rich. If they had asked Kevin O'Connell that same question a week earlier, the answer is J.J. McCarthy's the starter.
Right.
Now Kyler Murray's there. Well, we don't have to name a starter right now. And everything points to Murray having the opportunity. It's his job to lose. He could show up and, for whatever reason, he's not completing passes. I think once you get both of these guys on the practice field and they both start moving and throwing, the players are going to know who the starter is. Kyler Murray's got a higher level of skill set than a lot of quarterbacks currently in the league. He was Rookie of the Year in 2019, Pro Bowler in 2020, Pro Bowler in 2021. When he got that new contract, nobody said, wow, the Cardinals are crazy here. Why are they paying him $45.1 million per year in new money? Where it went sideways, that ridiculous homework clause that the Cardinals felt compelled to jam into his contract. The moment you have that kind of a misgiving about your supposed franchise quarterback is the moment you should trade him. Because once they did that, I think it blew up the relationship and it set the stage for what happened when they cut him. I'm surprised it took 4 years. But when that dark cloud is hovering over the relationship for four seasons, and he had a torn ACL, he's been banged up, but his numbers aren't horrible. He's been better at his worst than anything we saw from Vikings quarterbacks in 2025. So, yeah, I think it's his to lose, and we'll see how McCarthy responds. Maybe he accesses some new level of talent. And having Wentz there as the emergency option, considering how he played when he showed up right after they cut the rosters to 53 and the Vikings realized none of the backups that we have other than Max Brosmer are worthy of roster spots, and they brought in Wentz late August, he picked it up pretty quickly, and he won some games, and he looked pretty good. So they've got him to continue to develop in that offense, and I think continuity is the key. That's the one thing that could hold back Kyler Murray. If the offensive development in one off season doesn't match where McCarthy is in his second or technically third year with Kevin O'Connell, that could be the thing that makes a difference. But it all comes down to how McCarthy steps up. He either steps up or he steps off. And you better step off.
Nicely done, Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. You picked up on that, right, Chris? You picked up on that?
I got that. Step off, George.
Okay, very good. So then there's the Miami quarterback situation, as we like to use that word here in our business. I thought it was incredibly aggressive, obviously, to cut Tua and then say, screw it, we're still getting Malik Willis. And then comes the Jalen Waddle trade, which is a circle that's difficult to square, because if you're Willis, you know, you're going to want to throw to Jalen Waddle. And then if you're Miami, you're going to want Jalen Waddle there to help him succeed and evaluate. Certainly since they gave him a gig there, a contract where if they're willing to eat $99 million, they're going to be willing to eat whatever he's making. So what do you think's going through Malik Willis's head, camp? What was he told based on your knowledge about what their plans are, Mike?
Well, the Waddle trade was the one thing that broke from the other moves we saw the Dolphins make. Plenty of big name players gone: Tyreek Hill, Tua Tagovailoa, Bradley Chubb, Minka Fitzpatrick. But Waddle was the one that was like, wait a minute. I thought he was still like in the trust tree and he's still going to be part of this team. But one thing that became clear to me from the Dolphins at the combine, and I think I walked by your set and saw John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley sitting with you together at one point. We had Hafley on Tuesday of combine week. Those two are very aligned. And I think alignment is critical when it comes to the GM and the coach. You want every acquisition to happen through the lens of what does the coach want. And if the coach and the GM are on the same page, you're going to have a team of players that everyone is comfortable with. And the fact that they went after Malik Willis, you know, people were saying, well, this is a projection. It's a roll of the dice. It's a limited sample size. Wait a second. Halfley and John Eric Sullivan were in Green Bay for the last 2 years. They got to see Malik Willis every day in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, runs a scout team against Halfley's defense. They have far more information than what you typically see when the free agency period starts and a lot of guys are signed sight unseen to new contracts. So they really believe in Willis, and I'm going to assume they got a plan, and I'm going to assume that the decision to move on from Jalen Waddle was unanimous among the two of them. And I'm going to assume that whatever they plan to do next, they believe it's going to work. And I don't know that, you know, because I've said, well, the Dolphins are tanking now. Well, they've got Willis signed for the next 2 years. They're going to try to win with what they have. And it's a nice built-in excuse that you're carrying around $99.2 million in dead money from the Tua contract that's going to hold you back. But you know what? That didn't stop the Broncos from making it to the playoffs both years they had Russell Wilson. They made it the AFC Championship with the Russell Wilson dead money anchor around their necks.
It's because they got the quarterback and the coach right, among other things, obviously. But those two things you got to get right. And they may have that right here. Again, I really enjoyed the two times I've chatted with Jeff Halfley. And it would be ironic, wouldn't it, that they're like, we want to get the Green Bay way of thinking in here, and the first thing they do is draft a wide receiver in the first round, you know, but it looks like they're going to have to now, right? 11th overall, whoever's there, you gotta snag that player for the kid. Otherwise, you know what, how, listen, they could sign free agents, on the cheap or inexpensive, I should say. So there are ways to go about it, but I found it interesting that they're like, we are going to go with a quarterback that we think we can win with right now, just like Denver did after making a massive cap hit. We're going to still be aggressive. We're going to tear everything else down to the ground. Waddle was a bridge I thought that could be viewed as too far. I don't know. We need to see. The draft is going to be very crucial for Miami, I would think.
Well, you're right. And Rich, they got number 11, and now they have number 30. They could always try to move up. The possibilities are endless as to what they could do to try to reshape this team. And the one thing that Dolphins fans should feel good about, because there is no daylight between Sullivan and Halfley, whatever they're doing, they're not making it up as they go. They're not flying by the seat of their pants. There isn't some internal power struggle. They're getting on the same page. They're staying on the same page, and they're going to execute a strategy based upon their shared beliefs as to what they need to do. So we sit back and we see what happens next. But it has been exciting so far. And let's face it, the expectations are low right now for the Dolphins. So anything they do this year that's positive is going to be viewed as a win.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Listen, I know the NFLPA is a new chief, and I'm going to follow my rule here where fans do not care about labor developments unless it means no football. So I'm gonna kind of just skirt around that, saying, what does this mean for the fan, the relationship between the NFL and the NFLPA that Treader is in the spot where he said he was apparently uninterested in being in, Mike?
Well, Rich, there's one very important nugget that we reported in the days after the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 62 in Atlanta, February of 2028. They don't have a date for that game yet. And it's unheard of to be less than 23 months away from a Super Bowl and not know when it's going to be played. You got to have a convention center for the whole week. You got to have how many thousand hotel rooms.
Right.
They usually know by now. The reason they don't have a date, I'm told, they're holding it open in case they get to 18 games by 2027 and they need to slip it back a week or so. You throw in two buys and then it gets even more complicated. So that's why there isn't a date. And it tells me that now that JC Treader has been installed, I think they're going to move quickly to try to get a deal that would include 18 regular season games, 16 annual international games. Get it done now. We see the NFL moving on the broadcast deals. I think this is a time of aggressive business deal making by the NFL. And one other wrinkle, because it could be hard to sell 18 to the rank and file. There's an idea floating around, 18 games, every player limited to 17 games. So we're going to have an 18-game season, but hey, I don't have to play more than 17. Maybe you can get enough guys to vote for that CBA that J.C. Tretter may soon negotiate with the league. But that's what we should be keeping an eye on. How quickly do these talks move, and do we get to 18, and will there be this caveat that the players are limited to 17 games?
And suddenly you have to decide which is the game that you're playing your backup quarterback, you know, if you're
I think the starting quarterbacks would be exempt. They're already protected by the rules. You could make that argument. And you know what? It's not like the starting quarterbacks are heavily involved in union matters anyway. So go ahead and tie their hands to 18 games, right? I mean, that's one of the problems. And Rich, all kidding aside,
yeah,
people want to know why the union isn't stronger. One of the reasons the union isn't stronger is because the franchise quarterbacks, the highest paid players in the league, are not all in with the union effort. They're company men for the most part. That's the problem. We rarely see the quarterbacks get involved. That happened in 2011. Brady, Breeze, and Manning, Peyton, were on the lawsuit that was filed. But for the most part, you don't see quarterbacks on the executive committee. You don't see quarterbacks for the most part as members of the board of player reps. So yeah, go ahead. The starters will play 18. The kickers, the punters, the long snappers, they'll play 18. Everybody else plays 17. And here's the other side of it too, Rich. And I've been paying more attention to this as I do research on players as we write our posts. A lot of guys don't play every game anyway because of injury.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to have to bench all your starters when you get down to week 18 of the regular season, or week 19, game 18, week 20, because I think two byes will be part of this as well.
Yeah, I guess if somebody has to miss a game in week 3, that checks a box of the one game that they're not playing, and that'll be interesting when that happens. Before I let you go, the rule that Cleveland is proposing, that you're allowed to trade first-round draft choices 5 years into the future, what's the purpose of that,
Mike? Well, it gives you more flexibility when you're trying to put a package together.
I guess,
you know, if you want to make a trade for Joe Burrow, you can offer 5 first-round picks instead of 3.
But then the first-round pick is in 5 years from now. You're telling a team, hey, it's valuable that you never know what kid in seventh grade you might be able to draft. Really? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, possibly?
I
or what,
team,
like, what kid who's, you know, in 10th grade, you might get him. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. You can't figure that out. You know what I mean?
Right. But the question is, should the teams be allowed to have those terms as part of their trade? I'm a big believer, and let's face it, the NFL, for the most part, is 32 independent businesses that are supposed to be in financial competition with each other, and they're clearly in on-field competition. Why do we have restrictions on when they can do these trades? Back to the point we were talking about earlier, why is there a limit on when the trades can be done during the season? Why is there a delay on when trades can be done in the offseason? They should be able to do arm's length transactions whenever, wherever, and however they want. They're going 10 years into the future. If you get two teams that want to do it, let them do it. So I'm fully in support of extending this, because if the two teams want to do it, they should have every right to do it.
Mike, you want to hold up your book one more time?
Here.
What do you got? Big Shield, everybody?
That's even better. That's an improvement.
There you go. There you go. No, stop. Yeah, Big Shield.
Oh,
there
that's even better. Look at that.
Yeah, look
what
at
a
that
cover. My nephew Anthony Zeech did the cover.
I love
and
it.
And actually, the $20 bills are his vision of what a $20 bill will look like at some point in the future, because the book is set in an undefined future. Mm-hmm. So he came up with $20 bills that will. So it's kind of counterfeit, but it's not really, because they don't exist yet.
The ebook is for a low price of 99 cents, available right now on Amazon. Thanks for the time, Mike. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Rich.
You go. That's Mike Florio, everybody, right here on the program. All right. Lots to talk about right there. That rule change by Cleveland. I want to hit that. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a busy March Madness Thursday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. In my line of work, I'm fortunate enough to travel quite a bit covering the biggest moments through the football season. While I'm on the road, I sometimes miss the comforts of home, which is why when I travel with my family, we always check Airbnb for places to stay. It's our home away from home, providing the comfort and safety that allows us to wind down and relax. Families like mine are looking for homes that fit their needs to make new memories in, and your home may be exactly what they're looking for. If you're looking to save up for a new addition to your house or a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see your favorite band in another country, for instance, hosting your house on Airbnb could help you reach those goals. It's easy to list your home for short trips or extended periods of time, allowing your house to earn you some extra money. Make your home work for you while you're away and enjoy the benefits of hosting on Airbnb. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you know only 6% of people are getting enough fiber? That's why Quaker created Fiber February, a month-long movement to show your gut a little more love. It's like dry January, only easier and more delicious. Quaker has over 100 delicious options that are a good source of fiber. So go buy Quaker Oats today and join the Fiber February movement for a healthy gut.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I do believe, you know, we're on in throughout the state of Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. So I send my regrets to my friends at The Ohio State University for being one and done in the NCAA tournament. I picked them to win, and it's the first part of my bracket. I guess I'm not winning Warren Buffett's $1
million. $1
billion. Is it $1 billion? Is it a billion now?
Yeah. No, it's always been a billion for the perfect bracket.
For the perfect bracket? I thought it was a million. I told Taylor today it was a million.
No. If it was a million, I would have done it by
now. Oh, it's a
billion. Billion. $1
billion. Yeah, I'm out. I'm like Kramer. As soon as it started, I'm out.
Me too. Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. Yeah.
I picked
on the perfect bracket.
See?
Serves me right.
Let's see who's
serves me right.
He's leading our group after one.
Now, hold on a minute. Now I'm going to text Breer and money manager of the Stars, Don Weir.
See, this isn't rich.
Look at you.
No, what do you mean look at me? What do you mean look at me?
Well, you're just kind of rubbing their nose in it.
It's too bad. That's the way it goes in this rivalry.
I don't think that's good karma.
Okay, it's too bad. Here we go. Where's the...
Look, we know good karma.
I told Jerry Seinfeld himself that I send this GIF every time. There we go. That's a shame.
All right, lots of people to TCU in the bracket in our pool.
Is that right?
Yeah, lots of
people. Well, I'm out. Didn't get that right.
Me neither.
And TCU will take on either Duke or Siena.
Nice.
Wow, was that Ian Eagle was on that call? He was on that call for that game.
Oh.
Yeah, indeed.
Love it.
So they're off and running there. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let me make sure I'm getting this correct. I think it's Delonte. In Raleigh. What's up, Delonte? Did I get it right? Uh-oh.
None.
Fine for.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying with people. They're
all right. We put them all right, on again. All right.
He's been hanging on for some time.
Maybe they're on mute.
Let's go to Jake in Ohio. What's Jake. Up, Jake?
Jake.
Rich, how you doing?
What's going on, Jake?
I accept your condolences. I was watching the whole game the entire time, and they did put up a good fight. Until the end, and TCU is a really good team, but as much as I hate to say this, I had to pick your Michigan Wolverines to win the whole tournament.
Oh, because you're smart,
despite
Jake. You're smart, Jake.
Despite my fandom for Ohio State.
But, you're enlightened. You're enlightened.
It wasn't a big blowout. You know, I wasn't, super bummed out, but they did put up a good fight. The high point Wisconsin game is getting really good. And,
yeah, it is. It's tight.
Just, I have like a little competition with my wife, and the loser has to buy the winner dinner. So hopefully Michigan can pull out all the stops. And I do have some upsets, but it's all in fun.
So you have a bet with your wife, Jake, you have a bet with your wife that the loser has to buy the other one dinner. Do you go Dutch otherwise normally with your wife, Jake?
Well,
okay.
I mean, we try to make it, as friendly as possible. It's okay, nothing too extravagant. We're not spending, hundreds of thousands of dollars on dinner.
I don't think you are either. I just want to make sure that you and your beloved are working together, and clearly you are. And let me just tell you this, Jake, you are an enlightened Buckeye fan to choose Michigan, and I appreciate it. I do mean my condolences to you because I, it serves me right for for thinking that Ohio State was going to win the first round. I'm sorry about it, Jake.
I mean, I think I'm one of the very few that picked Ohio State to beat TCU. I mean, and it definitely did take a lot of humility to pick a rival to win like a basketball tournament. Now, if it was football, though, I would pick Ohio State all the way. But, you know, that's for another discussion. But, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for
not
the call, Jake.
Pick, but I respect it.
Call back. Let's check back in. Jake in Ohio right here on the Rich Eisen Show. In professional basketball, it's getting real out here, guys. I know you don't want to hear it, Mr. Clipper.
I
know you hear it from your no contest wrestling cohort.
I hear it
too much. O'Shea Jackson Jr. I know the Celtic fan over there doesn't want to hear about it.
I am unconcerned.
I hear you. But as
he's fine.
I know as Brian Windhorst pointed out in the first segment of the show when he came on the program back in hour one, the over under, even just a month ago, on the here's a what's more likely, not over under, what's more likely that the Lakers would begin to figure out a way where Luka is the bright shining star, Austin Reeves is the Robin to that Batman, and LeBron James finds a role where he is still in the mix as a star of the team and can also, on occasion, be the Robin to the Batman. Man's 41 years old. How long can he be Batman and Superman and everybody from the Marvel Universe on top of the DC Comics world be rolled into one? And that's the Riddler of the Lakers, is how will they be able to figure that out? And, you know, certainly if the head coach, if J.J. Redick is being left hanging by Luka as he's being taken out of a game, and Luka is constantly carping with the officials and you can't get any traction. DeAndre Ayton looks as if he is already checked out. And how can this all work? What's more likely? The Lakers would figure it out, put it all together, go into the playoffs with a big head of steam and momentum, or they would not. And we'd be left once again thinking it's just a bad collection here in Los Angeles. And they've won 7 in a row and 10 of 11, and Luka looks unstoppable.
Yeah.
Fact. 7th straight win. 2 of them back-to-back. They've been in Houston for 3 days. Monday night, they defensively shut down the Rockets' half-court game to the point where Durant was, like, talking about being a role, like, maybe he should take a step back in the crunch time situations with the youngsters. And then last night, as the game on ESPN, you saw it. I mean, Luka took it over. 3.5 to go. I mean, you can't deny it. That happened. 3-point shot, makes it a 2-possession game. The Rockets this time around were able to get their half court, their offense together. They didn't disappear in the final couple minutes. And they double Luka. They double Luka at the top of the arc. And twice he dribbled through it. One time behind the back? Did he nutmeg somebody? It looked like it at one point, but I don't think he did. And each time he dribbled through the double team, he had an easy alley-oop, one to Hachimura, one to LeBron. Part of a 13 of 14 shooting night for LeBron, who is now like hooting it up with Luka, who scores 40, including the dagger being a drop back, step back, teardrop three. You don't think it's real. You don't think this is sustainable.
What being real?
That
they can contend and win a title?
100%.
Zero chance.
Why? You got your guy Marcus Smart. He's battle tested.
There's about four teams. There's only like four teams who can win the title this year.
And the Lakers are not one of them.
No.
How is that possible? I know it's tough. They're going to take on, it seems like, maybe the Nuggets or the Rockets again. They just showed they can go into Houston back to in that's a playoff series right there. A Monday in Houston and a Wednesday in Houston. That's like the first two games on the road of a playoff series.
They're 50-1 to win the championship.
Oh, who cares?
Well, I mean, that's a good indicator of
why don't you think they can win it? I mean, Luka with a lesser team with the Mavericks got close. And that was when he had to have a, you know, Michael Finley's taking the beers out of his hands. He's in much better shape now. The only thing that he's not in good shape with are a number of his technicals.
You trust LeBron to hit open three?
He doesn't have to.
I trust LeBron to make the right basketball play.
That's not the question.
Well, basketball three is for him to make the three.
Luka's getting doubled. He's got to kick it, swing to LeBron, open three to win the game. You trust that to go in?
It's LeBron James, Chris. You got to take your personal feelings out of it.
I understand
your point, but it could be Austin Reeves instead now. That's what I'm saying. They've seemed to have gotten it. I mean, don't take my word for it. I also heard what Windhorst had to say at the top of the show.
I think it's easy to win one-off games. This is within the thing with James Harden. He looks great in these one-off games. Uh-huh. And in a seven-game series,
I know,
you can shut these guys down. And I don't have confidence in them to win a seven-game series against Denver, Minnesota, Houston. I just don't. It has nothing to do with my personal dislike for anyone on that team.
I turn to the Clipper fan.
Based on what I've seen the last few days, I was at the frame of mind that, like, yeah, they could probably get to the second round. This was about 2 weeks ago. Especially last night, man. Like, if Luka's on fire the way he is, and you've got LeBron James playing,
Austin Reeves playing the way that he's playing,
and you've got LeBron
Marcus Smart
an auxiliary role, like he's Rui. Third man.
Yeah,
you're going to take them over the Spurs at a seven game series.
Why not? I'm not taking them over the Thunder.
They've got more. More experience.
Why couldn't they beat the Spurs? I think the Thunder are winning the championship. Point blank. Period. There's no reason why the Lakers can't be in the Western Conference Finals, though, against these Thunder.
The way that they're playing right now, I know there's still a month to go.
I mean,
LeBron said he wasn't feeling well before the game. This is what he had to say afterwards.
In the game, I felt pretty good. Before the game, I didn't feel that great. I mean, I was yawning and tired and telling myself, I literally just like talking to myself like, come on, here we go. Let's figure it out. Let's get through it. So, but I felt pretty good in the game. And like I said, I'm happy to make a few plays to help our team win.
Everyone's questionable tonight because they got into Miami at 4 a.m.
Oof.
So LeBron's return to Miami. He might be sitting there himself.
I'm sure they got a comfortable plane. Everybody got some.
I got it. J.J. Redick talking about LeBron at age 41. It's 13 of 14. Not feeling his best.
Watching him, it actually probably makes me feel like a loser. And every time he falls on the ground, every time he, you know, has a box out, every time he gets hit hard and I feel it too. I feel it too because I'm just so out of shape right now. It's remarkable. And again, this is what I was, you know, talking about with him is just the preparation that he puts in to his body. Over and over and over again. And that's, to me, is like the ultimate sign of competitive stamina. He just holds on to it every single day, and he gets ready to ring the bell.
What would take you to believe that it's real? Another few wins in a row? Or not? Just not even at all?
In June when they're playing in the finals.
I mean, it's what you need is a half-court defense, and you need scores, right? That's how you win championships.
No doubt.
You need scores. You need people who can get to the line, and you need the half court defense.
You got to play defense,
right? And that's still like it. Playoffs always expose the weakness of a team. That's what the beauty of playoffs are. And if LeBron is forced to play perimeter defense, that's going to be a weakness. And again, it's no offense to a 41-year-old. It just really isn't.
Luka has to play defense too.
No, I get it. I get it. I know.
I mean, the 40-point triple double.
I don't
great.
Know, man. It's
but if you're a guy he is scoring
just,
on you,
he is just.
Hey, he's a stone cold killer.
It's the best they've played since he got here.
Yeah,
no doubt.
He's a stone cold killer.
And at times it's just like, how is it all going to be shared? How's it going to all work? How are you going to make it all work? Well, Last 2 weeks, it has. They're catching fire. Man, how great would that be if that team goes on a run?
Oh, I don't think it would be great at all.
Seriously.
Like, come on, great guys. For who? Great for who?
I don't like it.
NBA
but
fans.
But it could happen for
fans,
sure.
Fans. You know, I know everyone doesn't like the Lakers. I get it.
Then and why LeBron. Would it be good for fans? No one,
it is.
No one likes the Lakers.
Dude, stop it. The same way I'll take the heat.
You're a Laker fan now?
I am not.
It sure sounds like
I am not, but I understand what, you know,
it's best
what,
for
what
business,
people like to see. It's saying. You damn straight it is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the best for business and best for fans, not the same.
That's true.
Well, I got roasted for saying you're going to miss the Chiefs in the playoffs.
So now we're going to miss the Lakers?
No, I'm not saying you're going to miss the Lakers. I'm saying you're going to see them.
Oh.
And it's going to be more fun.
Interesting.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll wrap this show up and tell you what's up on Friday on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show.
You will not get off that.
I won't.
No, Rich.
I won't.
No, Duke did get more fouls called on it than Michigan did in the game.
Well,
and they should have had more called than what was called on them. And then the thing, again, the
more
thing,
is more.
It's the hidden non-calls. And the hidden,
oh my God,
the hidden non-call.
Hidden non-call.
That's a good game.
They don't show up in the box score.
It doesn't show up.
I gotta write this.
It shows up in the box score when Yaxel Lendeborg, who goes down on the floor, with the ball in his possession,
and
sits there for 3 seconds, and he gets called for travel when he did not travel an inch, and then that shows up in the box score as a turnover, not a foul. Not anything like that. It shows up as a Michigan turnover, and then there's turnovers that lead to points that could have led to points for Duke. So it's Duke points off turnover. Oh, Michigan turned the ball over too many times, except the time when they didn't, and then there's later in the half, same officiating crew, or the next half, same officiating crew, one of the Boozer kids grabs the ball and slides like he's on a slip and slide. He doesn't get called for traveling, and he's actually traveled.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose, that's why.
He dove for the ball.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a basketball move.
Got it.
That's a basketball
move.
God, I'm sorry. He was gathering.
Yeah, that's a gather, right?
Okay.
A gather.
Your guy had the ball and was rolling around. That's a travel.
He was not rolling around. He didn't travel at all.
Let me
get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong. Because right now you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid, the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. There's the bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. On Friday's show, I'll test my theory on does Duke get more calls in basketball games with a bona fide professional. Chris Webber will join us.
Well, I mean, he might be a little biased. I love C-Web.
Why?
Because you guys rep the same hood.
He's calling games.
You guys rep
He's calling a game right now. Yeah.
You rep the same smart tech. That's your man.
Come on. Chris Webber will join us. Chris Webber's going to join us.
Is this your man?
It'll be great.
Wow.
Tom Pelissero will join us.
Tommy P.
Is he going to be in a suit or a hoodie, Tom?
Is North Dakota's, or he's South Dakota, isn't he? Fargo, where's Duhamel from? Is he North or South Dakota? I keep forgetting.
Fargo,
North.
I forget which Dakota he's from.
He is North.
Yeah, Fargo, North.
The very handsome Josh Duhamel will come here and join us. And Susie won't be here. Last time that happened, you weren't here. She was here. He's talking about testosterone. It was great for me.
Speaking of Carson Wentz, re-signed with the Vikings.
I know. I mentioned. Thanks for watching. I mentioned that.
Just literally just now?
No, when Florio was on.
This was this morning when that happened.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes it's a 3-hour show, guys. We can't remember everything.
Got to focus.
I don't remember a lot.
Got to focus.
Clearly.
I was just mentioning because of Josh Duhamel. That's North Dakota.
Oh, very good. He's traveling to the studio.
You think he'll put this in another movie sometime soon?
Oh, I'm going to triple and quadruple down on this. There is no doubt.
I hope you guys lose.
Ask anybody.
I want you to lose tonight. And if they do, how quickly can I get a Howard sweatshirt?
I'll order one right now, overnight.
We had a guy from Fanatics that was in here.
Yeah, we could have.
Not just any guy from Fanatics.
The guy. We're going to call Michael Rubin and get
on
Howard.
Great, Howard gear.
For tomorrow.
You'll come dressed as Stern. What are the Howards?
Yeah, the duck.
The duck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cats.
Howard Cats.
Is there a Howard Cats? That's a silliest thing I've ever heard. The only reason why I'm not jumping down your throat right now is your birthday.
Thank you.
Howard
Happy
Hughes.
Happy birthday to you.
Buddy. Howard Hughes. Oh, thank famous Howard.
The legend, Mike Del, too.
Howard the Duck.
Okay.
Number one.
I said that, though.
I know you did.
Ron.
Howard the Duck is number
Cosell.
One.
This is Howard Cosell.
Okay, great. None of them are the reason why this the institution is called Howard, but all good.
Did you send anything?
It's all good. Yeah. Just because I spit the truth about how refs put their thumb on the scale for Duke basketball, and anyone will tell you the truth.
Oh,
it's not just me. Ask anybody that takes on Duke. Anybody. Anybody. Any single soul.
Anybody that takes
on. And they will back my play up to the hilt.
Yo, if Howard wins, let's get Taraji Henson to call in.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you'd rather that even if Michigan wins.
Yeah, let's do that regardless.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.